Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Mary Lau of the Retail Association of Nevada and Fred Lockham of TMCC discuss Governor Sandoval's State of the State, along with our Power Pundit panel, Jesse Gutierrez, Andrew McKay, and Lisa Cafferata. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mary Lau and Fred Lockham. Majority Leader Aaron Ford, in his response, said Democrats will focus on economic fairness and job creation, continuing to improve Nevada's K-12 education system, investing in higher education and technical education programs while keeping costs low and protecting Nevadans' basic rights from federal overreach. How does this play, Mary, against what the governor
said? It's the same press release that they had during the last legislative session, and the blueprint has been published. I mean, it comes out to increasing the minimum wage, and then how do you do that in conjunction with the, you know, constitutional limits? Of course, you know, we'll see if they have if they can do a statutory change on top of the other. We don't know. It's going to be the paid medical leave. I don't know what the equality for women stuff supposed to look like at the state level, but we'll see. And it's basically everything that they put out before. So go on the internet, pull up the plan, and then you've got it. I don't know if that's really going to hold a lot of water with the public right now, because the public seems to be moving in a different direction when you look at the results of the election. And I know Nevada went for Hillary, but that was a lot of work, a lot of groundwork, a lot of getting people out to vote. And by the time that wave passes, what does it really look like? Because we still are a purple state, and people are involved, and they're still disgusted with their elected leaders.
Great.
I think we're a blue state. I also think that 58% of Americans in this week's polls indicate that they regret having voted for Donald Trump. So I'm not sure what the direction nationally is actually going to turn out to be now. But at the state level, certainly the Democrats are trying out the ideas that they want to use in the 2018 election. And, you know, in moving on, they did not do well in 2016. They have a number of things to fix in their party, and I think that we saw some test driving of some of those themes and ideas right out of the box of trying to reach for some of those who had voted for Donald Trump to see if they can get them moved over into the blue column.
Yeah, okay. I don't think the numbers and the races that are up next time makes a lot of room for switching things again. You know, I don't think Roberson would like me saying that, but I think the Democrats taking control this time will probably stay for a while.
You make a good point with that, Mary. But one of the things I wanted to talk about is funding for community colleges. Now, there's a big push for workforce development, training people to be able to get a job at Tesla or get a job at Switch. And they have the governor has offered $21 million for workforce development in the community college. but it seems like such a pittance.
That's not enough. That sort of puts them right back where they were before. Not even before. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but higher ed, Nishi is highly overrated, and boy, I'm going to be in trouble with everybody for saying that. I'm sorry, that our community colleges are our front line for educating the workforce that we need, even for the Tesla plant, and now they're going to be building motors and stuff. Hello. We used to have that in our community college. And Fred, you're the expert on that one. I'm sorry. I just get frustrated.
Can I just throw in that Lance Gilman for the last year has been talking about a project out at TRI that is bigger than Switch and Tesla combined and that is still on track. So, I mean, obviously, community colleges are going to be vastly important.
And, you know, certainly there was no mention last night in the governor's speech, but there are at least five bills that have been introduced looking at some reorganization of how community colleges would be even governed in the state. I'm very appreciative. I'd rather you have the conversation. But the simple reality is that we cannot advance community development without more community college involvement.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you both very much. We appreciate it. We'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have two great people to be able to discuss the State of the State speech that was given as we taped this last night by the governor. Fred Locken is here, professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College, and Mary Lau, president and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. Pleasure to have you both here alongside Ray Hager. Fred, for you, highlights, lowlights from the governor's speech.
Well, I think in many ways it was probably his best speech, showed the greatest level of confidence. This is someone who started with such popularity, has maintained and grown that popularity as a governor. But you've also seen his growth in the confidence in the role of doing it the way that he wanted to do it. And I think that was very apparent last night. This is someone who is always challenged by his own party for not being conservative enough. Certainly could have caved into that over the last 6 years. But he proposed a budget last night that's commonsensical for the state that sort of finds more of a middle path than leaning to the left or the right. I think it's a realistic budget that speaks to a Democratic majority in the state assembly and state senate. I think that they saw increased spending for education and the social safety net as highlights of this. We're all happy to see that the economy has recovered, and he was able to celebrate his leadership role in bringing Nevada out of one of its worst economic downturns ever. Overall, no surprises. I think the ESA proposal will be the partisan topic of this session. I think it's dead on arrival with a democratically controlled Senate and Assembly. But beyond that, you know, it's the greatest amount of money I think we've ever had in terms of growth in the economy. He redistributed that in an $8.2 billion budget and had a little something for everyone.
Okay, Mary, the next 3 minutes are yours.
The next 3 minutes signal went through. A lot of that I can agree with, but it was a little bit too much of something for everybody kind of stuff. He tried to fill in everything. I don't know about, you know, the new building for UNR, half of it's proposed. I don't know where the rest of the half coming. I'd love to hear Fred's take on what the student enrollment money's about, because that was really kind of interesting. There's potential dangers in this budget. I totally agree that ESA will be an issue, but I think it's a compromisable issue. I think the, you know, Nevada blueprint, of course, there's a book out there called The Blueprint of What Happened in Colorado with the Democrats taking over the state. So now blueprint is the thing. Listening to a hearing on D.C. coming in for Tom Price, they talked about the blueprint. So that's becoming the word of the day. But there's it's compromisable, and we'll see what Ford and Pearson extract. For that, I think some of it'll be means tested and things like this. But it's kind of a wish list budget, too. I mean, the last governor that took a proposal to this is a 10% increase based on how are we going to look after Jeff Sessions becomes attorney general. Because he's basing a lot of this and sort of earmarking for education based on marijuana sales. But, you know, there's doctrines that can be just taken out that fast. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, when Miller did his $300 million increase, they were back in special session saying, I was only kidding. If we get back into special session again saying, I'm only kidding, then we'll see what happens. You know, some of it was interesting. Some of it was, you've got to be kidding me.
For example,
giving to people, you know, and stuff like this and assigning some of the amounts. I, you know, you haven't digested it all fully, but it was kind of like, let me give everybody everything. And oh, by the way, I'm taking all the one shots. He didn't leave room for legislators to use up any one-shots, which quite often is what they do during the budget hearings and stuff. They start the pork back home for their district, so to speak, or in our case, it's their precincts and stuff. But the governor has basically filled in all the gaps and left it open, but he's got $1 billion in there, and the only new revenue is marijuana. It's like, hope the plan comes together.
You know, when I look at this marijuana tax, when you add up the tax that is going to be levied on marijuana at
it's 15% now, so his is 10. You got 25%
on a product. I just wonder if this will keep the current black market marketers of marijuana in business, because a 25% tax, wow, that's a lot of money when you're talking about the price of marijuana in the first place. And then, Mary, you mentioned the education savings accounts. I absolutely see this as something that is going to get approved in the final go-round, because the Democrats are going to need something from the Republicans if they want to pass any kind of tax hike or anything. And I think that this is where they can find some compromise. Right now, though, $60 million is not enough to even serve the parents that have already signed up for this program. You're going to need around $80 to $90 million to service all the people that have already signed up. So that's going to be another fight.
Well, that's going to be interesting, because if the people that signed up, Ray, are basically people that they get disqualified because of the means testing, then you're really going to hear a lot of problems and whining and stuff like this. So I don't know where it's going. I don't. It says Treasurer Schwartz put out a dollar amount that says we have this much in the bank.
He says that the treasurer put out a thing that said we, of course, appreciate the governor including $60 million towards funding ESAs in his remarks today. The number is low, especially considering all those parents that we believe will apply. Once the uncertainty is removed, the treasurer's office looks forward to working with the governor and the legislature in making parental choice a reality and improving K-12 education in Nevada.
And, you know, the thing about that is that as soon as Treasurer Schwartz came up with that, he got ripped on Twitter by Michael Roberson, who told him to stay out of it. And it just kind of shows, wow, all the people on the elephant team aren't on the same page here.
Well, and I think it's also important to know that for the Democrats, they see that as $60 million that could be going in support of public education. So I don't think it's potentially compromisable, but I think that there is a significant principle here of allowing a door to open. They've got the numbers to stop it. Why would they want to let this elephant in the room?
Well, I think the governor is going to be behind this and pushing it, because part of the reason why he got some of the Republicans to vote for the tax increase in the 2015 session is that the governor said, well, look, you vote for these taxes, I'm going to help you out with the education savings accounts.
Well, and suddenly not all politics is local either, because if Trump's pick, DeVos or DeVos, yes. I don't know how to pronounce it, she comes in very favorable towards ESAs, and then the dialogue changes. I mean, for a long time, it was all politics is local, but now you're hearing the buzzwords at every single level, and it'll be interesting because the Republicans, I agree, is that's what they voted on, that's what they ran on, and that's what they're supporting. And if there's that much, if Treasurer Schwartz is right and there's that much of an interest, it's going to be an interesting thing, because I think the Attorney General might even weigh in on that. So
you think he might?
Let's take a break.
We'll be right back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary Bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Jesse Gutierrez is here, former Executive Director of Nevada Hispanic Services. Andy McKay is Executive Director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. And Elisa Cafferata is with Planned Parenthood. Pleasure to have you all here. Elisa, let's start off with you. What did you think of the governor's speech?
I thought it was a great speech. I thought that it was one of the best I've heard, and was reflecting on how much he's improved since he started as our governor. As a person in the healthcare industry, that was sort of something that got very lightly glossed over. And I understand that, because we really just don't know at the federal and congressional level what's going to be happening with healthcare, but that could be a significant impact to the state. And that's a huge concern, which this governor has weighed in on. So, and which Nevadans are very concerned about. So that we didn't hear much about, but I understand it.
Andy?
Well, first off, I mean, to say that it was comprehensive is an understatement. One positive that I liked, and frankly, I wish that there was more funding, was with respect to the community colleges. Representing an industry that requires the service technicians to be trained at extremely high levels, and the fact that most of my dealers have to recruit people from out of state, perhaps being able to fill that void will work out better. I would have liked to have seen perhaps a little more increase to community college funding, but then ultimately, where do you cut it? The reality is this is a huge budget. You know, it's up approximately 10%. Certainly, you know, medical marijuana tax is going to fund a lot of that. Well, not a lot of it. It's going to be a big portion. And the million-dollar question is where is it going to come? Is it going to bear fruit?
But, and also, is it like Baccarat, where, you know, we base a lot of the budget on Baccarat, and that's one of the things that swings so wildly?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, and no taxing mechanism, you know, despite the fact when they talk about broadening the base and what, you know, the goal of the commerce tax last session was, did it truly broaden the base? It doesn't matter. No tax is immune from economic swings. That's just a reality. Nevada is more so because of frankly, where we put our eggs in our basket.
Jesse?
It gave us some hope. When you were talking about the community colleges, and I was talking about this with my wife who works at Truckee Medical Community College, she says the $20,000 that's been afforded or allowed to go to junior colleges, which is what we're talking about, trade schools and so forth, divided among the four that are in Nevada, that means they only get $5 million. And that's, I mean, after all the cuts that they've gone through, like you said, and they're just getting back to where they started from. And so if all the cuts that have been done and only add $5 million to it, they're just back to where they were before. So I think that has to be looked at. Whereas to the universities, I think they got, what, $25 million each, $50 million. So they get each, the two university gets $25 million. Well, you know, that was one thing. And then the other thing that gave me bright and hope is because of our charter school, we saw that some funding was finally going to go, hopefully, towards funding charter schools, which in the past has not been very well much looked into. We had to do things in the charter school business that the school districts that don't have to do because they have a budget for it, and we don't.
You know, this funding for community college, $21 million, that doesn't get them back to where they were before because Western Nevada College, for example, they took a 40% cut over about three or four sessions, and you just can't make that up by giving them an extra $5 million.
Yeah.
You know, that's ridiculous. And if people want this new economy in Nevada that's based on high-tech engineering, that's based on you know, mechanical people, things like that, you're going to have to invest a lot more. There, you know, I don't see why the governor is giving $41.5 million to the University of Nevada for a new College of Engineering building when that money could be taken and put into the community college and really help grow our economy for the future.
Great point.
And I'm sure the governor would say, if you really want a high-tech engineering economy and the new Nevada, you have to also create some new engineers. And I think the overall, the whole thing of his budget was trying to bring people a little bit back, because you're certainly also not bringing back public education, K through 12. You're not bringing back mental health. You're not bringing back human services. All of those organizations took huge cuts in the recession and we're inching our way back. But he was trying to create a budget that created some strategic investments, and every single one of those organizations could say, but you could give me more. So true. I think he did a good job of trying to have a balancing act. And we still, as a state, have a long way to go to come back in all of these areas.
You know, another thing that, oh, go ahead.
I think I got to respectfully disagree with the premise that we haven't brought back education to where we are, or where we were, rather. Pardon me. When you look at the budget as a whole, education funding is well ahead of where it was pre-recession levels, significantly. I'm of the opinion, and it's easy being in the cheap seats, that I'm not writing the budget, but I think an investment in the engineering school at the University of Nevada was a wise investment, because that has proven time and time again over the last few decades that that drives high-paying jobs. It's one of the best engineering schools in the entire country. What I would have liked to have done, frankly, is seen less money to go through K through 12 and go to the university for the engineering program if you needed to, or rather to the community college system. That's just my humble opinion.
Okay, and that's where we've got to leave it. We'll have more from you guys on our next broadcast. Thank you for being here.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
On our next broadcast, Bill Payne, the Dean and Director of the College of Ag, Biotech, and Natural Resources at UNR. We'll see you then.